God. We love you.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a Jesus name people. Amen. We lift up the name of Jesus and we're not ashamed of it. And I feel like tonight the Holy Ghost is going to have its way in the power of the name of Jesus. And the devil's mad. The devil's mad right now. But let's lift our hands and let's praise God in the face of every opposition. Lord, we rebuke every sickness. We rebuke every spirit, Lord, of this world. Lord, we don't love this world in all of its sin, but we love the soul. And we thank you now because you're doing something supernatural beyond ourselves. And we give you praise for it. And we magnify you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Please be seated. We're going to, Sister French, come on up here. Where are you? Anyway, she's coming. I'm so glad Sister French is here. I'm very happy to have her with us. And I've asked her to sing a song. Now, I've taught Hebrews a few years, and one of the interesting discoveries I made sitting at the in Hebrew class with rabbis. I studied Hebrew both with rabbis and with Christian teachers. And one of the interesting things that I found was that something I'd heard years ago, even when I was a Trinitarian, that the Jews honored and revered the name of God that they would not speak the name of God, which is a little odd. In fact, it got so pronounced that Jewish rabbis would never even utter the name of God. They called it the ineffable name. So much so that eventually, if you look at a Hebrew Bible, you'll see that the name of God never has markings on. Never had, like my name is Talmadge. It has three vowels in it. Of course, Talmadge is a pretty common name, so that ought to help you. And the way you know how to speak it is by putting vowels on it. So you know it's Talmadge because there's an A after the first T and so on. But in order to keep people from speaking the name of God, they took the vowels off the name of God. So that the name of God became just four Hebrew letters. And then after that, they got, you know what? They said, you know what? We want to protect the name of God so much that then they began to replace the name of God with the Hebrew word Adonai. And so I came across this song and I told Sister French, I said, that is the song. And you're going to love it because I'm not going to sing with her. And so this song is called Adonai, right? Is that the one you're doing? Okay. And this is, so how many will worship the Lord with Sister French? Praise God. She can preach, she can sing, she can, whatever she wants to do. We'll just let her sing it.
I'm so glad he's my Adonai. He is my Lord.
Ooh, a single drop of rain, your salty tear became blue ocean. A tiny grain of sand turning in your hand, the world in motion. You're out beyond the furthest morning star, close enough to hold. I lift up my heart and I cry. timid, faithful knock resounds across the rock of ages. One trembling heart and soul becomes a servant, bold and courageous. You call across the mountain and the sea. I answer from the deepest part of me.
To just love the Lord one more time. That's so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I always just feel better when Sister French is with me. I just plus she's my not just my favorite person, but my favorite singer and favorite piano player and everything else. So we're just thrilled she's here. If you have your Bibles, let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Brother and Sister Sutton, for being friends to us. And thank you for letting us come back. And we just really value this friendship, but we also appreciate being here. And thank you for letting me preach to you tonight. How many will let me open my heart up tonight and preach to you? Praise God. I'm gonna talk to you unashamedly tonight, and I want to read from the book of Revelation. We're gonna preach from Revelation tonight, and the devil hates the name of Jesus, and we're in a postmodern age where the idea is all beliefs are fine, doesn't matter what they are. And of course, all Christians believe in the right of people to believe what they want to believe. Christians believe that everyone has a right to believe. You want to believe the moon is cheese? That's fine. There's a place for you, but seriously, we believe that if you want to believe that Buddha was God, that you have that right to believe it. But the name of Jesus is above every name. There is nothing like the name of Jesus. Never has been and never will be. And the devil hates it. And I really feel, Sister French will be able to vouch for this. This is I don't speak things just casually. I'm very, very serious when I'm telling you that I feel in the spirit that there's a divine purpose. This church has like a key, and that's the word that I keep feeling in my heart. There's a key place that New Life has in in what God is trying to do right now. There's a key place. And so you can say, well, Brother French, you know, we know we want to run and jump and have a good time. And we've done all that, and that's great. But I feel like the Holy Ghost is telling us that there's a purpose. There is a plan. There's something God is doing, and we need to be ready for it. We need to be ready. I don't mean that you're not happy and all that. I'm talking about we need to seek the face of God so that we can do what He wants us to do. So tonight I'm going to preach on this subject. So let's not get it wrong. The important thing about opportunities. That's what I want to talk about. The important thing. Or we could even say the important things about opportunity. But the opportunities of the Spirit are very, very critical. And we can't take them lightly. We can't just, you know, folks, oh, Jesus. It is easy for us to become all kinds of things, but really miss it. Really miss it when it gets right down to what God is trying to say to us. So in other words, you can't lay your Bibles down as though they're just add-ons, and every once in a while I'll grab a Bible somewhere. No. God's got a purpose in this church, and we've got to keep the things of God high in our soul, just like our worship, just like what we're doing tonight. We've got to do it, and the Holy Ghost is going to help us to do it. Praise God. So there's my... there's that little unction there. But let's look at Revelation 3 and let's read two verses. I think we could get by with these two. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, everyone say openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. And here's our verse. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. It's so familiar to us. I've almost asked God. It's so familiar, it's possible that it will pass us right by. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Does anyone feel the Holy Ghost? Could we just love the Lord right now? Father, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, tonight I pray that the anointing of God... the anointing of God will rest upon us. Lord, let me preach my heart, but be in it, Lord, I pray, every step of it. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And everyone said amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. I'm preaching tonight from these words, I have set before thee an open door. There's a number of things that are on my heart tonight, and as we are sensing the Holy Ghost and His divine purpose for the few moments that we have here Sunday night. I'm very, very certain that the Holy Ghost is wanting to challenge us. That there's a voice of challenge, and I don't take that. I don't even want to challenge you. I don't feel that. I'm being extremely cautious, actually, because in my heart, I feel this morphed sense of exalting the name of Jesus, even in the realization that as we are lifting up His name and letting the devil know that we will never back down. Anybody here love the name of Jesus above everything else? We will never back down. That with that glorious message comes an enormous responsibility that God has called us to. Not just me. I know that it's a challenge for my life. I realize that. But I'm not in Birmingham, and I'm not preaching to me. I'm certainly going to receive every bit of it. But I'm preaching tonight about the important thing about opportunities. There's something about realizing that, you know, you can do all kinds of things right and still miss the thing, the most important thing that God is trying to say and trying to do. And so I told you earlier, and I feel it in the Holy Ghost, but I will not be locked into it. I want to talk a little bit about the way revelation comes to people. In fact, I feel in the Holy Ghost, and I want to say it carefully, but I believe that God wants to send to Birmingham a spirit of revelation. I believe God wants to send to the churches around here a spirit of revelation. He wants to reveal to people that would shock you. God is going to reveal to them. So there's a part of me that wants to, and I may do it. I'm simply not going to be, if I don't do it, don't write home and say, well, he just fibbed all over the place. Because I don't mind telling you that there have been some, there's some things I like to think about when I'm telling people how I received the revelation of baptism, for example. I was absolutely and completely opposed to baptizing in Jesus' name. I was in a church that preached against it. And I was an ancient language major. I was the valedictorian of my high school. I went in the ninth grade, I was already at the university studying ancient language. And I began to, through a series of, do you believe God knows how to reach us? He knows how to reach us. And so perhaps the reason that maybe sharing a tad of that is that I'm trying to say that when people are reached, and I know this is simple. I'm not even trying to, there's nothing new about it. I'm not trying to say something new. I'm trying to tell you tonight that there's something about opportunity. You may know all about it. You may say, we know that. I've been in the Bible study myself. And I studied, read the Bible 10 times this year and did the bread program. And I've memorized it in Hebrew. That's fine. My point is God is not trying to call a bunch of wealthy intellectual know-it-alls. He's trying to reveal this to those that nobody else cares about. And it's so easy to miss it. It's so easy to say, oh, well, you know, oh, well, oh, well. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. So my pastor, when I first began to hear I don't know if you've ever heard of the Harvest Time broadcast, but years ago, the United Pentecostal Church had a radio broadcast, and they, of course, I'd never heard of the United Pentecostal Church, but at that time, but they had a broadcast, and I was with my pastor when coming home from a rally, a church rally, the very first time that I ever heard it or heard about Jesus' name baptism. And a bunch of us in the car, and we had the radio going, and we were talking and having a good time. Had a great pastor. And he was a very, very firm and very strong in his Trinitarianism. And he made it very clear that you later, when I begin to probe these things, that you could not pray to yourself. So Jesus couldn't be God alone. There had to be more than just Jesus. And questions began to come to my mind. numerous of them. But the very first time that I began to think about those things was that evening coming home from the rally in his car, listening to the radio, and harvest time came on. Of course, I didn't know it was harvest time, just a broadcast. And they were all talking, and I was the only one listening, static. You could hear this choir in the background. It's harvest time. You could hear them back there. Now, I've had people laugh. I've had people say, oh, my goodness. But God used that moment. And I turned to my pastor, and I said, what is this? Because they had been singing and they were preaching on the name of Jesus and baptism in Jesus' name. Well, that began to spark something in my mind. And I said, what is this? They're preaching about Jesus' name, baptism. And he clicked it off like that real quick as they were harvest. And I said, what's wrong? He said, you do not want to listen to that. And I said, no, you're right. I do not want to listen to that. What was it? And he said, those are those Jesus name people. Like it was like terrorism or something. That's those Jesus name people, really, you know. And I remember saying to the pastor, I said, I thought we were the Jesus name people. And he said, well, we're Jesus name, but we that they're radical about it. And I said, oh yeah. Like what? Oh, they'll grab you and baptize you in Jesus name. They just grab people and baptize. It'll get all. He said, you got to be careful getting too close to it, because that'll get on you. That's what he said to me. And you know what? He knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew. Because let me tell you something, folks. This is a day of revelation. This revelation gets a hold of your heart. And God is reaching. God is reaching. Oh, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands. Let's praise him. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So over the next several years, I became convicted about it and actually wanted to get baptized. And then I became angry about it. And actually what was happening is I became flustered because I was... It was convicting me. And so I would go and I would tell my pastor, you know, what would be wrong if we just, maybe you could just baptize me? Because he would say, well, you don't want to get baptized in Jesus' name because then you'll become oneness. And I said, well, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to become anything. I'm just reading in the Bible and he would say, things like, Jesus cannot be the totality of God, even though Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness. I'm going to say all the fullness. And all there is the Greek word pleroman. We both knew it. He taught Greek. I was a Greek major. And he knew that it says there. And so I would ask him, you know, that's very troubling to me. Because that doesn't say Jesus is the second person. In fact, the Bible never even uses the word Trinity. And that kind of, you know, but that's okay. And I would say, you know, I'm wondering why it doesn't have the word Trinity in the Bible. Never. And he would say things like, well, you know, Talmage, that wouldn't, if Jesus were the Father, because things were starting to convict me, and I was, and I believe that God, now, I've had a lot of apostolics who have said, you went too slow, you should have rebuked your pastor and left, and so on and so forth, because I didn't know any oneness people. So when I did get baptized, I had to go looking for oneness people because I didn't know a bunch of them. And, you know, when you hear those Jesus name terrorists, you start thinking, oh, boy. And I thought, well, you know, you're going to walk in and they're going to have six fingers and it's going to be very odd. And you're going to have to watch out for these guys. But God kept convicting me. How many believes that God is leading and guiding people? He's leading and guiding people right now. Your family, your loved ones, your neighbor, the pastor up the road. God is convicting them. And there's a spirit of revelation that's getting a hold of people. I rebuke tonight the spirit that says it cannot be done. It can be done. God wants to do it. And there's nothing above his name. There's no name above his name. Hallelujah. Now, here's what happened for me. And I told you I was going to do this, so don't judge me harshly. The first thing that began to convince me that Jesus was not second was his name. Because I'd had just enough language to start noticing some things. Certainly the Jewish reverence for the name of God, which of course is, we might say Jehovah. Everyone say Jehovah. But see, Jehovah, and I know that I'm belaboring this a tad, but there's something very, very important, church. I believe this. I'm preaching my heart tonight. There's something very important about opportunity. You cannot, you can't just say, well, I'm going to shout my way through it. No, no, no. You can't just shout your way through opportunity. It's shouting and dancing and worship, that is as important as doctrine. That's important as anything. Your worship is as important as anything. I'm not condemning that. I'm telling you, it will not substitute for faith in evangelism. It will not substitute for revelation. They both have to operate. Now, you say, Brother French, why is God telling us this? I believe in the Holy Ghost that God is telling us, hey, I'm getting you all set up for your worship and your singing. Now, Jesus, Sister French, I'm trying not to look at you. Could you look the other way just for a moment? No, I'm just kidding. Because she doesn't like me to meddle, and I don't plan to meddle. Okay? This is not meddling here. This is something else. Okay, so. Now, I know I really like your music here. I love that. I like your building. I like your worship. I love it. Everything about the church. I love this church. But that's good. And I believe the Holy Ghost is prompting us in, really, we're almost to March now. And I feel a hunger. I do. I sense it. I sense it deep in my, I said, Lord, I may never be back. I have no idea. I don't know what the future holds. I'm going to have to preach what you give me. And I believe the Holy Ghost is prompting us here tonight that we're getting everything in order. And it's not so that we can make an album or a CD or whatever we call it now. And so we can sound pretty and everything. And we can feel good and everybody smile. Does anybody sense there's more to it than just how we feel? The Holy Ghost is saying, I've got a church that I put on a rock, and no devil is going to stop it. No devil is going to stop it. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. So what I'm really saying is there's a, you know, you can have everything right, and then there's this opportunity. Pastor Sturch would, I thank God for it. I've had men who didn't think I should have, for example, I refused. I'm not saying it's right. course, it wasn't right. I should have. I repent, Lord. I repent. But I would not get rebaptized. Now, I know some of you, Lord, some of these folks, they can't. I love y'all too. I told the Lord, I'm going to love this other side tonight. I refuse to get rebaptized, even though, and Lord, it's hard for them to bear this. It's hard for them to understand it. And I love these folks. I'm trying to tell them my testimony, just my testimony. I was wrong. I should have done it differently had I known the truth, and I would have done it differently. But I made an agreement with my pastor, the Trinitarian, who was a district official and all of that, and a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. I told him, I said, Pastor Sturge, I want to tell you something. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Please, will you baptize me in Jesus' name? And he said, no. Your Trinity baptism is perfectly legitimate. You don't need anything more than that. I said, well, let's say I agreed to that. That you're right and it doesn't matter what you say. He would say things like, it doesn't matter what you say when you get baptized. And I'm not making fun of him. That sounded kind of rough, but you know how someone that loves you, and he would say, you're going to have to be careful. You can get fanatic. And that's fanaticism. You've already been baptized. I said, I know. But I said, there's a real problem here. I feel like God wants me to get baptized in Jesus' name. What about that? And he'd say, well, Talmadge, that's not God. I said, well, it just seems so much like God, it's just giving me nightmares. I mean, it's so much like God. I mean, you don't think it's the devil, do you? Do you think the devil's trying to get me to get baptized in Jesus' name? I don't think so. And he would say, no, Talmadge, it's not that. He loved me. And I'm saying this carefully. I'm trying to be very, very careful. I should have done it differently. I should have just said, I'm going to go find somebody and get baptized. But I made an agreement with my pastor. I said, Pastor, I will not run out of here and just go find any old body. I will not run out from under your authority. I love you too much for that. My grandmother got the Holy Ghost in that church when she was just a young lady, right out of just almost at Azusa, just a little while. The embers of Azusa were still flickering when my grandmother French, I called her grandma, she got the Holy Ghost in that church. I wasn't about to run out of, and I said, Lord, I just want to do what's right. I just want the truth. I want what God wants. And I said, I will not rebel against my pastor. I've had preachers say, you should have kicked him in the shins and run out of there. And I said, well, when you get the chance, you kick him in the shins and you run out. But I didn't run out. And I sat there and I said, Pastor, I really believe this is God. But I could be wrong. And he said, Talmadge, one day he came to me. He said, does everybody feel the presence of the Lord that's here? Could we just love him one more time? I'm not going to preach all night. I'm just going to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shatanda laboko shatatala. Hilamako shanda labusata. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. If I would have known that this is why God gave me this message tonight, I would have wrestled with God another hour and said, no, Lord, don't make me preach that. I'm telling you tonight that you can have the truth. You can know the truth and still miss the opportunity that God has for you. You can miss it. You can miss it. And you can be wrong. And that door, you start hearing those hinges. You can be as wrong as you can be. And they'll straighten this all up later. But I'm telling you, there's something awesome about revelation. When you know, there's people that have revelation, and I gotta watch Sister French's face. I gotta make sure I'm okay. So, I love y'all, but let me preach here just a minute. There are people that have truth, but they have the wrong spirit about it. They're mean, or they think they know it all. You know how many people we've turned off? And I know sometimes I've turned people away that I was trying to win. And everything I did, I couldn't seem to. I was at a meeting not long ago at a university. They asked me to come to an Assembly of God. I will not name what church it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not name this university. It's the only time it's ever happened in this Assemblies of God group. So please, I'm not trying to condemn them. That's my home. That's what I've been. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not here to cast condemnation on anybody. I'm telling you that opportunity rises above all of the spirits of this world. It's greater than anything else you can do. There's something awesome about saying God has opened that door. Oh, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. And so they called me. Now, I was invited recently to an Assemblies of God University, and they asked me to teach for 4 hours on Jesus' name baptism at the Springfield Seminary. So I'm not condemning them. If I wanted to be Assembly of God, I'd be Assemblies of God. And please forgive me for having said it, because it makes it look like now I'm in some way bringing names up. I was raised that. That's what I've known. But my pastor said, I can't baptize you. I said, why not? He said, that's illegal. I said, illegal? He said, it's illegal. We cannot baptize that way. He said, be just like if I wanted to baptize you and sprinkle you. I can't do that. I said, oh, I see. And so after I'd been in the ministry and been apostolic, they asked me to come to this college, and this guy was all hooped up, and French here's abandoned the Trinity. He's gone oneness. He's a reprobate. Oh my goodness, what am I doing here? He called me and I said, no, you're not going to call me a reprobate, are you? You're not going to just get off. He said, no, I just want you to come and defend baptism in Jesus' name. I said, is that all? You want me to come and defend it? Because the paper that I was reading, the fellow was saying, oh, all the people that are baptized in Jesus' name are stupid. So I walked up to him and I said, hey, brother, I wanted to meet you. I read your paper where all oneness people are stupid. I said, you've met all 30 million of them. That is awesome. He said, well, no, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean they're all. I don't think you're stupid, Talmadge. I said, thank you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I said, you know, I know. I said, but you know, that's a fundamental flaw to what you're saying here. And that is, if you could prove that we're all stupid or don't know Greek, that's what he was getting at, then you could prove we're wrong. But I said, that wouldn't prove anything. If we were all stupid, I mean, if let's say we get, I mean, to get 30, all 30 million just stupid as they could be, that'd be pretty tough. But even if you did, that wouldn't prove they're wrong.
Not at all.
So Keith got up and he said, well, I want to tell you something about Talmadge here. Everybody still with me? All right. I'm going to stay right here till the Holy Ghost lets me go. He said, Talmadge right here was with us. He said, but I'm going to tell you, Talmadge is going to hell. And he's, now I want you to hear this. I'd never heard it before. Sister French knows where, you know where I'm going? Okay. He said, God and Sister French have to. I tell you what, folks, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. There's a spirit of revelation that is moving. I don't even know the area that well, but I think we're north. Let's say we're north. I'm kind of on the north side, let's say. I want us to lift our hands and pray for a spirit of revelation to sweep the north side and the east side right now. Come on, Father. I don't know who they are, but somebody surely is reaching. Somebody is reaching. And this church has got enough anointing that they can begin to be sensitive and trust God until revelation comes. Somebody is about to receive revelation. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, Brother French, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that when I stepped in the waters of baptism, I had spent years trying to reject it. Wrote papers against it. Went to my pastor and said, I'm writing this against baptism in Jesus' name, but my spirit is telling me I ought to be embracing that. Something in my spirit. Well, he told me one night, he said, Talmadge, I figured out what's wrong with you. I said, well, thank God. He said, you have an oversensitive, an oversensitive conscience. You weren't even there. No, I'm just kidding. An oversensitive conscience. That is right. And I looked at him and said, you mean I'm a psycho? He said, no, you're so sensitive to God that when you hear in the Bible, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're so sensitive. You're overly sensitive. And I said, yeah. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm overly sensitive. I mean, I read in there over and over and over and over. I called him one night and I said, Pastor! I just read Acts 22:16 in the Greek. And it says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I said, now that says it washes away your sins. He said, well, you know it can't wash away your sins. I said, I know. But it says it does. And that really, really, really bothers me. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but I love in the Greek there in Acts 22:16, here's how you would actually translate it. Because there are three middles and then a passive. So here's the French translation. Get yourself up. Get yourself baptized and get the name of Jesus called over you. That's the middle for you. Get yourself up. There's something about a heart that says, lead me to the water. So, So Pastor said, Talmadge, you know good and well that baptism cannot wash your sins away. I said, I know. Because we'd already been through Acts 2:38 for the remission of your sins. We'd been through that. And the only scripture that was really troubling me was 1 Peter 3:20, which says, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. So I told him, I said, you know that? That if that means it doesn't take away your sins, then I'm going to hold off. I'm going to hold off. So I came to church and he said, Thomas, I know you're troubled by it. And I know you mean well, but he said, I got a word for you. I said, oh, good. What is it? He said, I feel like to tell you that if water could wash your sins away, that it would kill every fish in the lake. And so I said, what about the turtles? But I said, I looked at him and I was a little, and I said, He said, look at you, you're a good guy. Well, you don't need baptism. What are you talking about? I said, well, but my heart feels it. I feel convicted. I got to get rid of this or I have to figure it out. And I need to obey God. And you're my pastor. I don't know anybody else to go to. And he said, Pastor, when I was younger, I went to Walmart and I needed some hooks for my fishing pole, and I put them in my, I was pretty young. That's the worst sin I ever did. And I'd go to hell over that if I hadn't been already repented and prayed and sought God over it. But I was before I even knew God. And I said, that's the worst thing I've ever done. I think there'd be a few fish that'd live if you baptized me. And I said, besides that, I said, we don't baptize in a lake. There are no fish at all in this baptistry. He said, you know good and well, that's not what I mean. I mean that baptism is not about washing sins away. I said, I know that. But why does it say, arise? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's what I want to know. He said, well, God's going to show it to you. And I said, okay, God's going to show it to me. So my dad was pretty much, he was an all-nighter drinker. He'd go out and stay all night. And so my folks had divorced. And so dad was on an all-nighter. I'll never forget as long as I live. About 3:30 in the morning. I'd been reading my Bible and I was weeping. I said, Pastor Church is a good man. He doesn't believe this. It's embarrassing to him for me to keep insisting that maybe he's not quite figured that out yet and maybe we should all get rebaptized. And that's not nice. He's my pastor. And so I was just weeping and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And now he's given me this word that about the remission of sins. And it's about as quiet as you could get. And I'm sitting there just tears running down my face and waiting on Dad to show. Maybe he'll show up tonight, maybe he won't. And I said, Lord, I don't even know why I'm so stirred up about it, but, you know, I got to get past it. And as sure as I'm sitting here right now. The Holy Ghost whispered to my heart. Now, it wasn't audible, but I'm going to tell you, I can't tell the difference. And the Holy Ghost said to me, as I sat there, it's not in the water. Well, what was that? It's not in the water. I heard it just like, and it's not in the water. It's in the name. That's what he said to me. It's not in the water.
Wow! I grabbed a phone. I said, Pastor, I just heard from the Holy Ghost. It's not in the water. It's in the name. There's a name. It's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name. Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's stand. Come on. I've got to stop. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to. I feel a spirit of revelation. And I feel like you're with me, even though some of you are like, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. Now, I'm finishing up a PhD project on a black preacher by the name of Haywood and the interracial impulse of the oneness movement. And in the midst of that, I found out that Haywood, whose first name was Garfield, was named after the president who was shot, whose name was Garfield. And he was the poorest president we ever had. He was elected president. He had no money. He was the poorest president in the history of the United States. And shortly thereafter, there was another attack on a president. His name was William McKinley. A fellow by the name of Leon Czolgosz walked into the Pan American building where he was visiting the World's Fair in Buffalo. I got a call from Buffalo yesterday, and it's jogged my mind about this particular fact in history. McKinley walked in, and there was all the ruckus of the president entering the building. And so Leon saw his opportunity, pulled out a small pistol. He walked point blank to McKinley and shot him in the stomach. It did not kill the president. He lived for 8 days. The bullet was somewhere near the heart. He bled profusely, but by evening, a nation was, with bated breath, read the news that their president had left alive. He had left the Pan Am building, and he was alive. That was the 6th of September, 1901. 8 days later, coughing up blood, the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, breathed his last breath because the greatest doctors in the entire world could not find that bullet. It severed an artery and claimed the life of William McKinley. But it is a known fact, this is not a sermon illustration, it's just a simple fact, that next door to that shooting was displayed for the first time in the history of the world a little machine known as the X-ray. The X-ray machine was on display at the 1901 Buffalo World's Fair for the first time, and the doctors knew all about it. But they had never put it together that with this would have saved the life of the president of the United States. All they had to do was find. See, church, we can be so close. We can have everything just right, the finest of the fine. But if we don't take the opportunities that are there,
and say, Lord, I'm not going to, you know, some of you wondered, well, I don't know why I should fast. Maybe it's because God's trying to send revelation to somebody. Maybe it's because God wants to use you in a way like you've never been used before. I want us to lift our hands together right now. And I want us to pray, Lord, there's something about this great opportunity of this end time church. Oh, new life is a very, very powerful part of it tonight. Come on, young people, pray with me for a minute. Pray with me for a minute. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Somebody wants to be baptized. Somebody wants the Holy Ghost. Somebody wants salvation. Somebody wants to talk in tongues. Somebody is hungry and they don't know what to do. They don't understand it. We've got to pull the veil off. We've got to lift off the covers and let the world see Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, saints, let's pray all over this building for just a few minutes. Come, some of you need to come forward. Some of you need to kneel where you are. Let's just talk to him a little bit. Hallelujah. Send a revelation. Send a revelation. Save my family. Save my neighbor. Save my boss. Hallelujah. Lord, do it right now. Somebody's hungry. Somebody's hungry.
Glorious, marvelous Savior, pray, redeem. I believe somebody can get the Holy Ghost tonight. I need some worshipers. I need somebody to be a vessel. Somebody be a prayer warrior. Somebody take dominion. There's people praying in every corner of this church tonight. Come on, I need somebody to make it cloud up and rain in this house. Come on. High school. She got the Holy Ghost. She's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name. In the next couple of weeks, we're opening up Bible studies before school in two high schools at Hewitt and Clay Chalkville. You be in prayer. God's already moving. God's already moving. God's already moving. Somebody shout about it a little bit. Come on, young person. Walk up and down the hallway talking in tongues. Come on, young person. God's able to shake a high school.
What a wonderful Savior.
right on, church. I believe we got two more about to go down in the name. It's going to kill all the fish.